Good morning. How are you guys? Yeah, good to see everyone. I love you guys. I love you. I love Uganda. For those of you who don't have any idea who I am, I used to be a pastor here a long time ago, so many years ago. We started the church 2002, and God really used me in spite of me. I was just a young kid back there, but now I'm a muse. I'm all old now. Actually, in February, I'm making 40 years old. Can you believe that? Woo. Yeah, so I'm just thankful to Pastor Zeddy for inviting me back. You know, when you hand over something, you can't come make the decisions, and I'm just thankful for him to invite me back. Actually, for those of you who want an update on me, my family's good. Lynn, Judah, Julia, Liana. And we moved, when we moved away from here, it's been 6 years. 6 years since we moved from here. And we moved to San Diego in California. I worked at a church with Pastor Ray Bentley. You remember, Pastor Ray Bentley? Then we went and planted another church, but not as good as in Uganda. We went to Washington State. But we planted a church there, and God has really been blessing that. You know, that's an unreached people group there. Uganda has, you have a lot of Christians here, you know? But in my country, we don't have a lot anymore. They've all gone. And so in the place where I'm planting a church, 70% of the people say they have no religious affiliation. Nothing. Nothing. Don't believe in God. Nothing. 70%. So we said, let's go there and plant a church and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of all men. So we're up there, and we've been there for about 3 years. The church is growing. It's called The Bridge. It's a Calvary Chapel church. And yeah, things are good. Things are good. So I love Uganda. I love Calvary Chapel Kampala, and I love Kampala, and I love you guys, because I can tell you really love the Lord. I can tell you really love the Lord, and you look good too, by the way. Forgot to mention, you look good. But it's good to be back. Now, when I'm going to share the Word of God this morning, and someone told me, now, you only share the Word of God like once a year here at Calvary Chapel Kampala, so it had better be the best, most powerful, most anointed message this morning. So I thought to myself, oh, that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. And actually, I want to say something a little bit serious here, that when I was preaching here, I really felt God's anointing to teach the word. You know, I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. You guys know the difference. There's a difference between teaching and preaching. I like preaching. I like preachers. I think Uganda has a lot of preachers, not so many teachers. So I'm more of a teacher, where I teach the Word of God, so sometimes it's not so exciting. I tell some jokes, sometimes they're not so funny. You want to hear something funny, though? So I used to tell jokes here, and people wouldn't laugh, like two people would laugh. So I thought, oh, you know, this is a cultural thing, maybe they don't understand the humor, whatever. But then I found when I went back to the United States, I would tell the jokes, then nobody would laugh. So do you know what that tells me? Bad jokes. Praise the Lord. But I tell them anyway because I laugh. It makes me feel good. I think we need to laugh more. Christians need to laugh more. Don't you agree? Be happier. There's a lot of serious stuff going on in the world. And Jesus wants to give us joy and laughter, happiness. So the person said, you need to preach the best, most powerful sermon. But let me say something just serious here, that I felt like God's anointing was on me while I was here. I taught the Word of God. I preached the best that I could. And I felt like it was good. But I feel like now I'm not as powerful as then. Let me explain why. Are you listening to me? Paying attention? I feel like I'm not as powerful as then. But that's not bad, because here's why. When I left, I prayed for these guys like Pastor Zeddy. Chumuli, these other guys that went through the Bible college that are planting churches around Kampala, around Uganda. And I said, Lord, take any kind of anointing you had given me, specially for this time, and pass it on to these guys. Let them be the power that remains here in Uganda. So I thank the Lord for them, that they're doing a great job. Okay, I said that I loved you. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to verse 47. I don't know if this is going to be the most powerful or anointed sermon that I've ever preached before, but I know that it is God's word, and it's going to be a blessing to us no matter what. Okay, so we're going to study it, we're going to learn, and we're going to ask God to put it into our hearts. Let's pray together, then we'll get started. This morning, Lord, I just want to tell you thank you for what you've done in my life. I want to tell you thank you so much for what you've done here at Calvary Chapel Kampala and in the other churches around the city here. Many people represented in this room from other churches. And we want to pray a blessing, Lord, on Calvary Chapel Kampala. We want to pray a blessing on the other churches in town that are faithful to your word and declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them, Lord. I want to pray this morning as we study your word that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit and through your word. We believe, Lord, that your word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Cut into our lives this morning. Help us this morning to learn and to grow. We just have a short time together, but may it be very meaningful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a message I'd like to share with you this morning from Acts chapter 2. The message title is The Framework for the Future. Now, as you know, we just started a new year, 2018. In your country, do you have New Year's resolutions? Do you do that, New Year's resolutions? So at the new year, I say, okay, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to, you know, be a better person. I'm going to, you know, tell better jokes, whatever your New Year's resolution is. So you want to think about the future. What am I going to do? And where am I going to go? And what am I going to be a part of in my family, in my work, my business, my church? Well, this message is really a framework biblically for the future of not only Calvary Chapel Kampala, but also of our church there in Washington and of many other churches that we look to God's word for guidance on how we should be a church. Wouldn't you agree that God knows the best way to be a church? And he's given us actually the guidelines. We don't have to figure it out. This is, when Zeddy and I talk, I don't speak for him, but I speak for myself. I'm not a very clever guy, you know. Sometimes I have a good idea, but most of the time I'm just a regular guy. Zeddy's different though. He's better. Wow. Right, Kenny? You're laughing. Why are you laughing? Why? So you talk about what to do with the church. What's, you know, we want to do this and that, and we want to expand and outreach and whatever. But what should we do? The Bible says, you know, there's a lot of things you can do, but the Bible says the exact things we need to do at the framework, the foundation and the framework. The other stuff is okay, but what is the heart of what we do 2018, 2019, God willing, we continue on. Unless the Lord comes back, that would be better. Then we don't have to figure it out. We just say, yes, Lord, here we are. Here's the framework for the future. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Now, what I'm going to read is the very first beginnings of the church. So you look at the beginnings when God created, you know, you look at the beginning of creation, God created Adam and Eve, you see the ideal husband and wife, man and woman, right? You look at the beginning. You look at the beginning of the church, you see this is what the church should do. You look around Kampala, United States, wherever, a lot of churches are doing a lot of, should I say different? That's a nice way to say it. Different, weird things. You wonder, what? What is this? What are you doing? Where did you learn that? But we look at the beginning of the church, we see this is what the church does. Here's what we will do. Here's what we will do. Now let me read, and then we're going to go through point by point. Acts 2, verse 42. This early church, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods. They divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah. We like that last part. The Lord did the work. He added to the church. But this is what they did. Now, these are principles that we can take. Their culture is a little bit different, so it's going to look a little bit different in every place you go. But the framework or the foundational truths here remain the same. And let's start by looking at verse 42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. There is four things. So the first point that I want to make this morning in our framework for the future, looking toward the future as the church, as God's people, whether here or there, wherever, the framework for our church is that we will prioritize the foundational principles. We will prioritize. To make a priority means these are the most important things to us. You say, what is the most important things that you do in the church? Verse 42 says, the most important things that you do, the foundational principles are, number one, the apostles' doctrine, which basically means the word of God. That means the word of God. They wrote the word of God. Number one, God's word. What is the things that you do as a church? God's word. Let me ask you something. How many churches have substituted God's word for something else? Many. Why? Hey, I know I'm not a very smart guy, a clever guy, but I know enough to know that God's word is more important than my word. Right? This word is more important than what I could say. I might be able to say some clever thing, motivational thing that makes your heart feel good. You know those preachers, they can say something and you feel like, ah, I wish I could do that. Sometimes I can maybe, but God's word can do more than just make you have a little feeling. God's word can change your life. It can transform you completely. This is better than what I could say. So when we look at our church, we say, what should we hold as a centerpiece, a priority? God's word. What does the word of God do? It instructs us. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is not just a human book written by human beings. I mean, it was written by human beings, but the inspiration of it was God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what God's word does. It instructs us. It helps us grow. The Bible says, as newborn babies, you should desire the pure milk of the word. Okay? Babies, when they don't get milk, what do? They cry. They get annoyed. Ah! You like my baby impression? Ah! They do, ah! So they cry because they need that to grow, but yet Christians, we should also cry out for God's word so we can grow. We get instructed, we grow. The Bible, the word of God, cleanses us. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:26 that God cleanses and washes us with the water of the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we need to bathe regularly. Amen. That's spiritually too. I'm saying spiritually, by the word of God. Number four, what does the word of God do? It instructs us, it helps us grow, it cleanses us. The word of God is our weapon. The word of God is our weapon. Do you know the armor of God? You guys are strong Christians here. You know the whole Bible already by now, right? You taught everything, right, Zeddy? Pastor Zeddy, you taught it, the whole thing. So you know everything already. But you know that part where it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the attacks of the enemy? So everything is armor, helmet, breastplate, belt, shoes, Jordans. Put on the Jordans of the gospel. Man, some of these fashions, when I go back to the United States, they're just crazy. I can't understand them. Michael Jordan. Armor. Everything's protecting, shield, protecting. There is only one weapon. What is the weapon? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You guys, we want to win the battle? We need this Word. It instructs us. It helps us grow. It cleanses us. It's our weapon. Some guy said, the devil is not afraid of a Bible that has dust on it. Think about that. The devil is not afraid of a Bible that has dust on it. This is my Bible from when I lived here in Uganda. I keep it on my shelf. I have another one. I don't want this one to get spoiled. I want to remember. This is the anointed one. But I took it off. So it had a little dust. I had to dust it off. I felt bad. But I use another Bible anyway. You get the point. The devil doesn't care about the Word of God when the Christians are not using the Word of God. It's like a soldier who goes into battle, then he left his gun over there. The enemy soldiers won't be afraid of the gun. Why? Because the man isn't holding it, using it, knowing it. Same thing. Okay, God's Word. It says the apostles' doctrine, fellowship. You guys know fellowship. It's more than just hanging out or being friends. It's a real, like almost a family, a connection, a camaraderie that you are together. We're in this together. And you know that it's not just one church, that it's other churches. We are for the same gospel, same Lord, right? We're fellowshipping. That is part of the church, what they did. Communion, the breaking of bread, he said in verse 42 again. He said the Word of God, fellowship, breaking of bread, that's communion. When you take the bread and the juice. Juice? Wine? Use wine or juice? Juice. Let's stick to juice. So you remember the Lord. They did that. They remembered. Why? Because we remember his death for us. That's what it's, the cross is the center. That's the communion. Remembers the cross. Prayer. Is prayer important in 2018? As a church, is prayer important? You know, prayer is important. Sadly, some churches, they spend all their time in strategy meetings, but never in prayer meetings. So that's a church made of man-made things instead of God-made things. Whether we like it or not, one pastor said, asking is the rule of the kingdom. Asking is the rule of the kingdom, meaning prayer is what makes the difference. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Medium prayer, what? Medium power. Okay, so that was all the first point. Jenny told me I could preach as long as I want since I don't preach here very much, so... He said, you go ahead, but don't worry. I can't preach very long because we were all up late last night with Jeremy Camp and singing, and it was good. It was good. If you were there, it was good. I wondered why Kenny wasn't up there singing too with him. So we're remembering, prioritizing, rather, the foundational principles, the Word, fellowship, communion, and prayer. Prioritize those things. Secondly, in Acts 2:43, it says, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. As they were doing these things as a church, what happened was that in the community, they were seeing the effects of the church. Hallelujah. This isn't a secret, you know, group where we just do our thing, then leave the rest. What we do here impacts what they experience out there. So they did the word, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer, and then as a consequence of their faithfulness to these foundational principles, God was using the apostles in this case and the pastors in other places, the people, to experience the miraculous. God's power. So number two, we will reach out so God's power will be seen in the community. This is why we are still here, by the way. Christians, do you know this? Have you ever wondered, why doesn't God just take us to heaven? It's better in heaven. Okay? Heaven is better. Do you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Yeah, most of you. Some of you are like, is this a trick question? Of course. Why doesn't God just take us to heaven? You believe, and then gone, right? Which is better. Now we're here, and there's problems, and you have corruption in your country. I have problems in my country. My president, man. Woo! That guy. Oh, man. Oh, a lady stopped me yesterday. She said, your president, man, is giving you guys a bad reputation. I said, sorry, I can't control him. He doesn't listen to me. I don't have his phone number. Excuse me. Okay, let's continue on. We have to study the Word of God. So we have problems. We have all these things going on. Just heaven is better. Why not go? Here's why. Here's why we are still here, Christians. Do you know the answer? You know it by now, right? Because of the lost. The people that do not know and have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Let me give you an example. If we were to have gone to heaven yesterday morning, are you following me here? We went to heaven yesterday morning. So we had how many at the concert? Many people raised their hand to accept the Lord. Thousands. I looked around. You're not supposed to look, right? Bow your head. Close your eyes. But I peeked. I was looking. Thousands. Praise the Lord. Raising their hand. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior to forgive me of my sins. They heard the gospel message from Jeremy Camp. They accepted the Lord to have their sin. Now, if the Lord would have taken us Christians to heaven yesterday morning, then thousands of people here in Kampala, Uganda would never be able to hear the gospel and go to heaven themselves. You see how important this is? It's not just us to do a nice club or a nice social thing. We're here for the purpose of spreading the glory of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we are faithful to do this, God is faithful to have his power enable us to do this. Step out in faith. Amen? Step out in faith. Step out in faith. I stepped out in faith when I came here to Uganda. I didn't know Uganda. You know, someone said, you want to go to Uganda? I said, where's that? South America? I didn't know Uganda. You know, us Americans, we don't know anything. We don't know where things are. We know where our own things are. We don't know anything else about where things are. Uganda, it's the country of Africa, right? We think Africa's a country. Country of Africa. But we stepped out in faith. Let's go there. Let's meet people. Let's start a church, a Bible college, Calvary Chapel Bible College. Plant churches. And we said, this is important to do, and we did it, and here we are. Here we are. Now, what do you do? Where's your step of faith? How will you reach out? We will reach out. Number 3, in verse 44 to 45, we will contribute to the church and care for one another. Now, when he says 44 and 45, it says, all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So what it's saying there is, now they did it a certain way. It doesn't mean we have to do it exactly this way. So everybody sell everything, divide up the money. You don't have to do that. There's more teaching about this. The point of this two verses is that we as Christians, so we need to be focusing on the foundational principles. Number one. Number two, we need to be reaching out so God's power can be seen in our communities. Number 3, what it says here, we will contribute to the church and care for one another. I know that you get tired of hearing about money in churches. We're tired of it, right? Because these guys are always talking about, give your money, you'll be blessed. But the reality is, God wants us to be generous with our finances into the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? into the kingdom of God. He doesn't want us to be generous in our finances into the fake preachers of God. You know the difference between those, right? So we have to be generous. That's what they were. And they were generous, and they gave, and they tithed, and they were part of their church, not just attending, not just, you know, doing the, they were part of the church financially. And you know someone is a true Christian when, you know, God touches their heart, but you know that God touched their heart when he also touched their wallet. Hallelujah. Because that's the thing we love. Doesn't matter where you are from in this world. That's what we love, right? So God can have my heart. God can have my time. I come to church. But as soon as he starts to say, but what about checkbook, wallet? You know, wait a minute. No, it's the whole thing. We need to be part of this. And that's how things get done. And God's work gets accomplished. I heard a funny joke about these two guys who were traveling by boat. These businessmen traveling by boat. The boat had a shipwreck. They were stranded on a deserted island in the middle of the ocean. The middle of nowhere, these two guys. The one guy was scared. He said, they will never find us. We're going to die. He was freaking out, this one guy. His other guy was sitting there relaxing. He had a coconut with a little straw, you know, just enjoying life there. The first guy says, man, how can you be so relaxed? We're out here. Nobody knows where we are. We're in the middle. We're stranded. He said, the guy sitting down said, don't worry, don't worry. He says, at my church, I tithe 1 million per week. He said, I tithe 1 million per week. My pastor will find me. He'll find me. Don't worry. That's a good one, huh, Kenny? Oh, man, I laughed when I saw that. Because I'm a pastor. You guys, your pastors are always like, oh, do we have the money to do that? I wish people would give more. This is what goes on behind the scenes, right? So we could do more work of God, and my pastor will find me. I'm sorry. Contributing and caring for one another, not just to the church, but to the poor and to the needy. And if you have friends and you have fellowship together, if someone's in need, help them. That's what we do. If anyone has this world's goods, it says in 1 John, and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's share and help. This is what God's word says. Number four, we're moving on. We're almost done. Verse 46. It says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So what they're doing here in verse 46 is actually they were showing what fellowship means. They were meeting regularly. We will continue to meet regularly and build relationships. Do you know what I found? Let me just tell you about my state of Washington. The city there it's called Seattle. In the United States, it's on the farthest northwest up by Canada. So we live north of Seattle even. But we're up there, and up there people are very not so happy. By the way, it rains all the time. It's dark. It gets light at one time of year. It can get light at 8:30 in the morning. That's when the sun comes up. The sun goes down at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The rest of the time is dark. It rains. People are depressed. People are, that's why I like coming to Uganda, because you guys, you're happy, most of you, smiling. But sometimes when I look at my church out there, up there, they're good people. God bless them. I love them too. But they sit like this. Even during worship. They can lift their hands to praise like this. Can you imagine? You still want to come up and can you break them out of this? But that's their culture. The city that I live in is called Bellingham, and it's called the name of the city's Bellingham, and it's called the City of Subdued Excitement. I'm not joking. That's a real thing. Subdued excitement. You know what it means to be subdued? Suppressed. So I'm happy, but you can't tell. That's what it means. How would you like to be a pastor or worship leader there? Oh, my goodness. If someone laughs at a joke there, I feel good. So good. Subdued excitement. So when these guys were meeting, so up there when we're meeting, the most important thing to them, and I think this is true for here too. I didn't realize it because I wondered why are they these people are coming to the church. So the church is growing slowly but surely. It's hard work because first they have to get saved because it's not just Christians because there's no Christians. It's not Christians going from one church to another. You have to make the Christian first, then they come, which is good. They come there, they have problems, everything. You guys don't have problems, I know that. But they kept coming, and I feel like they're not really, I wonder if they don't like the preaching, I don't know. The worship, because it's like this. Worship is good. I mean, Kenny's next level good, but I think, why do they keep coming back? Because it doesn't seem like, and then I realized it. When people would come in, our people are good because they go and they befriend the ones who come in. They are welcoming to the ones who come in. Because that culture, people, they only have their own friends. They don't welcome new friends. You know what I mean? It's called cliques. Do you have those here? You only be with your friends, don't have any other new friends. Have you ever wondered, how did you get your friends you have now? You've once welcome them, or they welcomed you. So I realized that something powerful about the church, because I thought, oh, I'm Calvary Chapel, so the powerful thing is preaching, teaching the word, worship. And I realized, those are powerful things, but there is another powerful thing in a church. There's another powerful thing in a church, and that is welcoming people and building relationships with one another. So you say, you want to come to my house and have lunch, or you want to go and have a soda, you want to go do whatever. Go watch football. In my country, football is the one they throw with their hands. Why? Why? It's called football. Why are you throwing it? I like it, by the way, but I don't know why. And we also have your football, we call it soccer. And Seattle has the number one U.S. team, Seattle Sounders. I know they're not like Premier League or anything, but we love them. We're getting there. We're trying our best. They met regularly together. They built relationships. That's what verse 46 is. Hebrews 10:25. It says, and this is very important, so let me speak to my people who haven't been here for a while. Huh? If you're at another church, that's okay. Praise God. We're all working together, right? That's okay. No problem. If you're just gone, nowhere, let me read to you. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing nearer. That's the day of the Lord's return. So what does he say? He says, this is something you should not neglect. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is important. It's very important to gather together. And this is where relationships are built and strength comes as we're together. Amen? Strength comes as we're together. Let's finish with number 5 this morning in verse 47. This is it. It says they did all these things. Verse 47 is actually the results of doing these things that we talked about. When the church was doing these things we talked about. The church was doing these things. What were the results? Verse 47. It says, They were praising God, having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Three results very quickly here. Three results. Number one, worship. It says they were praising God. So worship. Number two, they had favor with the people. Imagine that. The people that are not Christians actually like the people who are part of a church. Think about that. You know, in order to be a Christian, you don't have to be offensive. I mean, the gospel, it becomes offensive. I know that. Don't worry. But you don't have to make it extra offensive. You can actually smile, shake someone's hand, tell a joke, tell someone that you love them, while you're also telling them that they're going to go to hell. You have to just... There's a way you can, like, be nice. Praise the Lord. I wish Christians were just nice. Sometimes I hear these preachers, we have them there too. Just yelling. Remember that guy? I told you this story a long time ago. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was driving down there by clock tower, window was down. This preacher was preaching the word of God, just shouting. And his finger was really long, and he pointed in my window. He said, "You need to stop drinking. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop partying. You need to stop sleeping around." All these things that I need to stop. I said, "Man, how does this guy, what does he think?" I said, "I'm a pastor, CCK. Then he didn't know what to do. So he went to the next guy. We see the results that we become more worshipful to God, praising God, having favor with the people. They may not agree with us, but at least they don't have a bad taste in their mouth about us. Amen? Amen. We need to get out there and be with the people. And then finally, addition. You want your church to grow? It's God's timing and God's will. I know that above all. But you stick to these principles that we've talked about this morning. This is the recipe for success. Because this is the way God designed it and God's in charge. This is the way that God's designed it and God's in charge. Okay? We good? We stand? Okay, let's stand. And I'll pray for you. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for these wonderful people. I pray that you would bless them as they go. As they go through their lives, I pray that they would remember you love them, you have a plan for them, and you have given them the instructions here in your word. Help us to all take heed to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.